Amen. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, choir. Thank you, praise team. And thank you for being here today. Y'all know what that means, don't you? Absolutely nothing. Just put up there to make you feel a little better and let you know I am conscious of the time right now, but I am prone to lose consciousness. You all aware of that? There is a correction that I need to make in the bulletin. I gave Jeannie the wrong scripture reference. The Lord was just speaking to my heart last week so and getting ready for today, and that should be Mark chapter 10, not Mark chapter 11. So why don't we just go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10, and I want us to look at a couple verses beginning at verse 41. And then we're going to look at the passage in Acts, and of course the parallel passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 18 through 16, servanthood, a call to servanthood. Today we ordain two wonderful men. Let me just say something to you as the family at Dutch Fork. I think it's tremendous the way that you have opened up your hearts and with the warm embrace that you have extended to so many families that have moved into our area and have chosen to become a part of the Dutch Fork Baptist Church family. And as a result, you have allowed them to become engaged and involved in ministry. I was looking in the choir as they were singing and just looking at the new faces that were there that were not there some years back. Grateful for that. In other places in ministry in this body, one of the strengths of a great church is their openness and their willingness to allow those who feel called and gifted to serve in ministry and to exercise those gifts and to choose men who are of good report, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 6 says that come from other states and move into our area. Someone asked me recently, are you getting a lot of members from other churches? I said, no. I said, believe it or not, most of the folks that are joining with Dutch Fork are people who are moving in to our area out of state from Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, North Carolina. I'm just grateful for that. That speaks volumes about this church and the heart of this church. And I want to commend you that have been here through the years and have been faithful in that endeavor to allow God to use you to minister and reach out. I listen on Sunday mornings when Leon tells you to greet one another, and you honestly don't want to sit back down. He has to go ahead and start the service to get you to sit back down. And I observe that. I watch body language. I read body language. We send a lot of messages by our body language. Sometimes I send the wrong message. I'm joking and cutting up and don't mean to, and it's the wrong time. But that's just me, and put up with me and love me, and I'll put up with you and love you. Amen? But today is a special day. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the opportunity today to be a part of what God is doing in the history of this church and how that you have opened your arms and allowed these two men, Matthew Ryan Barr, did I get that right? And Kat, and then James Huggins and Kendra. And we're grateful today to have those here with us and their importance in the kingdom of God. Young men that God will use in a profound way. And so today we publicly, according to Scripture, set them apart to the office and to the ministry of a deacon. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you found Mark chapter 10 and verse 41, please, stand with me, please. And then we're going to Acts chapter 6, so put your finger over in Acts chapter 6. Now, an interesting thing takes place here. James and John's mother wants Jesus desires that Jesus give them a position, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And of course, Jesus kindly rebukes her and rebukes them and said to the effect, "It's not mine to give." In Southern Baptist life across the years, many years ago, there a term began. And the reason it began was because largely in the rural areas of the South, in particular where the Southern Baptist Convention began, a pastor had multiple churches that he served, sometimes four, sometimes five. In fact, the pastor I grew up under was serving four small, rural Southern Baptist churches. And so I tell people all the time, I grew up on preaching twice a month, and I didn't turn out half bad, okay? Not twice a Sunday, twice a month. The first Sunday morning and the third Sunday afternoon. Well, it was left to the responsibility of the diaconate in that church to take care of the ministry of that church during the week. Because even in some occasions, that pastor not only pastored those four churches, but he had a job, maybe a part-time job, that he worked at as well. And a term was developed called the Board of Deacons. The word board then became a somewhat of a power base, a recognition, if you please, of this particular group of men within the church, the diaconate. As a result of that, the involvement of that over the years began to remove, in one sense of the word, and they became more administrators than servants and ministers. I want you to understand this morning that the highest calling of a deacon is to serve. Just as I am called to serve you, they are called to serve you. They're called to serve you in the sense that they minister to the need, whatever that need may be, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual need of the body of Christ in the local congregation, in the local assembly. In the early church, they were elected for one reason and one reason only, to serve tables so that the widows would not be neglected. The Grecian, or the Greek, widows were somewhat complaining because the Hellenistic, or the Jewish, widows were receiving, they thought, more of the distribution of the bread. And so the apostle said, "Look among you for seven men of honest report, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, and set them apart." Now, think about that for just a minute. To serve bread, to minister to the physical need of people, the requirement was that they be full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, and men of wisdom and honest report. What a tremendous accountability and stewardship was entrusted to those men. Why? Because there's no greater calling. One time I said to one of my staff members in my former church, I said to him, "Your ministry is not music." No offense, Leon. "Your ministry is people." And when you lose sight of your ministry as being people, then you lose sight for the reason that God raised you and called you and placed you in that position. So James and Matt, with all the love that's in my heart, if I could say anything to you this morning and to the rest of us, our ministry is always in the best interest of those that we are called to serve. So having said that, James and John's mother was looking for a place of recognition. My point is, that is not what it's all about. That is not what it's all about. Not aspiring to have the best place, the best seat. What we should aspire to do is serve and meet the needs of people. And I think you do a great job at that, Dutch Fort. And I want to commend you for that. And Rome and I count it the most humble and greatest privilege and joy to serve with you. And so, verse 41, "And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John." I don't blame them. I don't blame them. See, there always has been some, you know, human nature is human nature, okay? Human nature is going to show its ugly head, okay? Now, listen what Jesus, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. When God looks at me, look up here just a minute. When God looks at me and he looks at you, he sees us on the same level. I'm just serving in a different place than you're called to serve. I'm serving in a different capacity than you're called to serve. But it shall not be named among you. But whosoever would be great among you shall be your minister. James and Matt, you're being called to minister to this body. You're being called, as Aaron and Hur were, to be the right hand and the left hand of Moses. And whosoever of you would be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. In other words, if you want to abstain to greatness, if you want to aspire to be great, if you want to seek to be great in the kingdom of God, seek to be small and seek to serve. For even the Son of Man, now listen to this, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now flip over real quick to the Acts chapter 6 passage. And let's look there for just a couple minutes in Acts chapter 6. The foundational passage that we believe sets forth the reason that we are gathered here today in this assembly for this purpose. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Here we go again. You see the human nature. Murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not meet or fitting that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look among you for seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Someone has said that there's no greater business than God's business. There's no greater business than meeting the need of another human being, whatever that need may be. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember the priest and the Levite walked on opposite sides? You remember that their priority was, let's get to the temple and let's do this at the temple. I've got to be seen. I've got to be heard. But along came the Samaritan who was despised and rejected. He was actually a crossbreed between a Jew and a Greek. And the Jews would have no dealings with the Samaritans. But along came a Samaritan, and what did he do? You know the story. He ministered to him, he bound up his wounds, he took him into town, and he told the innkeeper, if I owe anything more when I return, I will pay you. You see, the highest calling is to love God's people. God's people is God's creation. Everyone that's created in the image and the likeness of a holy God. The 12 said, look among you, for these men who are full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, full of wisdom, and appoint them, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of God, notice what happened as a result of the obedience of the church. When they had prayed, laid their hands on them, it says, and the word of God increased. You see, when you do what God leads you to do, God's going to bless it. When you walk in obedience, when the church walks in obedience, when you and I as individuals walk in obedience, we're talking about something coming up in January that we're excited about to share with our church family and some things that we believe that God wants us to do, and we're excited about that. We're excited to see what God is getting ready to do through this church. The word of God is going to increase. And the number of disciples is going to be multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And then a great company of priests are going to be obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith, did great power and wonders and miracles among the people. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bring glory to yourself today in this service. Magnify yourself among your people. May you, Heavenly Father, receive all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory. May it not just be a service of ordination, but God, may it be a service of committing our lives anew and afresh to you. In all that we do, may we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And you said, all these things will be added unto us. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Quickly, let me mention some words to you. There is room on your bulletin that you can write these words down. There are three R words that I want to mention to you. The first one is responsibility. Write that word down. The second one is requirements. Write that word down. And the third word is rewards. Responsibility, requirements, and rewards. Then there are four M words that I want you to write down. Four M words that I want you to write down. The first one is ministry. Ministry. Mission, method, and message. Ministry, mission, method, and message. In this text in Acts chapter 6, I want you to notice very carefully that God knows all things. He's omniscient. He's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's immutable. He does not change. He knew what was coming to pass in the church, in that early church, before they even understood what was going to take place. 120 had gone into an upper room, and for 10 days they had spent their time together in prayer and in fasting. And Pentecost had came, and the church multiplied. In fact, it first says that God added to the church in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 souls. A week later, he added another 5,000 souls. This is plus women and children, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. This is men. So you can see the rapid expansion of the church in a very short time. And so we come to chapter 6, and we find that there is issues. There are issues that are taking place within the body. And how is the body to meet those issues? You see, I believe God places within the body every individual that is necessary in order to meet the need of that body. Let me illustrate it to you this way. It is a proven fact that within our body is the capability for our body. God has already ordained and placed within our physical body the ability to heal itself. If you do not believe what I'm telling you, scratch yourself, put a Band-Aid on it, put some Neosporin on it if you want to, wash it out with some alcohol or peroxide, and you basically forget about it, because in your body, God has that made present in your body the necessary things to heal that body and to keep that body well and whole. You and I are required to take care of that body. And so the same pattern is here in this Acts chapter 6 text. There is a responsibility that is necessary for the body in order that the needs of the body be met. The requirement was that the 12 said to the church, you look among you. You see, it's not the pastor's choice. Hello? It's not the pastor's choice. It's not the deacon's choice. It's the church's choice as they choose these men to set apart and to publicly say to them, we believe that God has called you into this type of ministry. This type of ministry where you minister to the needs, the physical needs. In this case, it was a physical need. It was an absolute physical need. I believe that we are to meet the physical needs as much as lieth in us. We are to meet the physical needs of this body. We are to take care of this body. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, insurance was not available in that day. The church had to meet its needs. Internally, the church had to minister and take care of the body of Christ. And so there was a requirement, and the requirement was that they would look upon them for seven men who met certain criteria. That criteria was that they would be men that were of honest report, men that were full of the Holy Ghost, and men that were full of wisdom. Why? Because there was a ministry need. Wherever there's a ministry need, there's a mission requirement. Did you hear me? Wherever there's a ministry need, there's a mission requirement. In other words, God was the first missionary. You've heard me tell you that. Where did he go when Adam and Eve sinned? Where did he go? He went back to the same place he'd gone every day, looking for Adam and Eve. Why? There was a need that needed to be met in their life, and he was the only one that can meet that need, church. You and I are his instruments. As we minister to the body of Christ, as we bring wellness and wholeness to the body of Christ, as we help the body of Christ to grow together in unity, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, that we grow together in love and that we grow together as we serve one another in the spirit of love. And so the ministry was that the Grecian widows were being neglected. The mission was somebody needed to do it. Somebody needed to do it. You know, I'm limited. I cannot be everywhere at all times. I cannot be all things to all people. It's an impossibility. And so the need arose in the church, and the need by the power of the Holy Spirit from God was that you look upon yourselves and you choose seven men that are able and capable to minister to this need within the body of Christ. And so as a result of it, the requirements were that they minister to that need. But then quickly, let's look a little further here. Not only did the responsibility rest upon the church, not only were the requirements set forth, not only was there a ministry, not only was there a mission, but I want you to notice the method that they used. I want you to notice that the method was that the church itself would be responsible for those that it placed in authority over them. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. You mean those deacons are in authority over the church in the sense that they were serving the body of Christ? They had and were given the authority of God himself to meet that need. In other words, they were acting in God's behalf to meet a physical need in the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that God so cares for you and I that even he numbers the hairs on our head? Isn't that amazing, church? Do you not think God cares about what's going on in your life this morning? You not think that God doesn't care about what's happening in your life physically? Sometimes if we're not careful, listen to me, Jesus always met the physical need of the person before he ever tried to minister to the spiritual need. When somebody's hungry, well, I'll pray for you. Now, that's good, isn't it? I'll pray for you. But when somebody's hungry, they're hungry. Amen? It's hard to teach them that God loves them and that Jesus loves them and their tummy is all gnawed in knots because they're hungry. It's hard to minister to somebody who's going through difficulties in their marriage or their home or their family or with their children or with their job and just say, well, I'll pray for you. No, 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 no. What can I do? What can I do today to be involved in your life? My son John calls it, Dad, you got to be relational with people. And when you become relational with people and people understand that you're genuinely interested in them, they'll let you in their space and then they'll give you the opportunity to minister to them. Pretty smart kid, isn't he? Came from his mother's side. By the way, everything went great for John and Ashley last Sunday in Raleigh, and we are so excited for them. So excited for them. For those of you that are guests today, our son, after running for a long time, like his dad, finally surrendered to the ministry, and he and his wife are. I'm amazed. I really am, because he is a PK, and grew up in a bull all of his life. But notice the method. The method was that they would be appointed over this business. Appointed. Matt and James are being appointed today by you.